It works. Oh, it's good to be here. Peace. He brought peace when he came. You know why he brought peace? Because he is the Prince of Peace. And we can never have peace in this world if we don't accept the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ gives us that peace in spite of, a pesar de, in spite of in Spanish, a pesar de, all the turmoil. And you're going to be hearing about Ukraine, and I have friends in Ukraine. But if people would only accept Jesus, and you yourselves, if you accept Jesus, and you serve Jesus, and you obey Jesus, you're going to have peace. The peace that passes all understanding. See, I have peace. I was mentioning this morning to some of you, I said, you know, I had two fathers and four mothers, and I've lived in, I know, 8, 9 homes and this. I mean, my childhood was rotten. But I had peace because at 10 years old, I was up at Amel Island Bible Camp, and I looked up and I said, Lord, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And since that time, even when my father was throwing chairs at my mother and my mother was scratching at him and they were fighting and yelling and screaming, I had peace because I had Jesus. This morning we're going to be talking about temptation, as you can guess. And this morning we talked about hallowed be thy name. Temptation. Are you tempted? Ooh, I'm tempted often. I'm tempted often. And we're going to see what the Bible says about it. And we're going to show you from the Word of God that we can overcome temptation. See, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's only through Christ I can do it. Only through Christ that I can overcome temptation. And what we did this morning, to those that weren't here, we're going to read it again, just the first two slides, which we didn't see this morning. But we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. It's famous. I mean, it's one of the four most noted passages in the whole world. John 3:16, Psalm 23. The Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. Everyone knows it. When I was a kid in school, we used to start the school. It wasn't a Christian school, but we used to start with the Lord's Prayer. Temptation. Such a real subject, and that's for sure. Okay, let's see what we get here now. Sorry, there we go. The Lord's Prayer. I'm going to read it, but if you have a Bible, open up your Bible and read it in your Bible. And it might be a little different, but I always encourage people to read their Bibles. This is our sword. This is our offensive and defensive weapon, in a good sense of the word weapon. And you can look up here if you haven't got your Bible. But if you've got your Bible, follow along. You might see a little difference, but that'll help emphasize it. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:5. We got it? If you've got a Spanish Bible, French Bible, Chinese Bible, Korean Bible, read in your own language. Follow along. Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners that they might be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not let them, for you, Father, knows what you mean before you ask him. Pray then like this. We're reading now in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. As we said this morning, which was very interesting, there are six petitions here. Six. For instance, we have the first three are concerning God. And when you get home, what I'm going to try to do is whet your appetite. That's going to be hard to translate. Whet your appetite. Give you a desire to look at the whole Lord's Prayer when you get home. But there's three petitions concerning God. For his name, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, it's about his name. The second petition is his kingdom, thy kingdom be done. Then there's, and his will. Those are the three parts, first part, and we touched this morning on his name. His name. Then the second group is on our needs. Bread, referring to our physical and spiritual need. Forgive us of sins. And then the last one, and finally deliver us from evil. And what we're going to do this morning, as I said, I'm just trying to get you excited about the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to talk about the last of the six petitions. This morning we talked about the first petition. And now we're going to talk about the last petition. Okay? Are you with me? Now it's very interesting. This is what we're going to be talking about. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a one particular translation. Another translation is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pretty close. That's the King James Version. The New Living Bible says, and don't let us yield to temptation, and rescue us from the evil one, the New Living Translation. And the one we're going to be using mainly is the NIV, the New International Version, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. There's 57 words in the Greek, 57 words in the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to be touching on 13 of them. This is it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is what we're going to find out. We're going to be like a dentist. I went to the dentist last week, and he was digging around in there and looking around in there, and I'm sitting there. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to dig in and see what is really in these 13 words. We're going to be like miners that are looking for gold or diamonds. Very interesting. Well, what is a temptation? You're going to say, well, people say it's a religious term. No. What is the temptation according to the world? Well, the temptation according to the world is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. That's according to the dictionary. Are you with me? Good. And I see some people taking pictures. Absolutely phenomenal. Don't take them of me. I can smile. No, but take them of the slides, and then when you get home, you can make sure that the preacher preached what was biblical. And you can study it yourselves. So the desire to do something, especially something wrong. But how about, what is the temptation according to the Bible? And that's a little different story. Temptation is the intentional enticement of a person by some bait, usually pride, always self-gratifying, to disobey God's revelation, God's revealed word. The practice may be demonic or fleshly, But the object is always to distort of God's word, God's world, God's word, and the definition of God's mission in the world. So this is what the definition is. And you can look that up yourself. It's in the Bible dictionary. So what it is really that you're there and, hey, I should do this. It's pleasing to me. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's pleasing to me. It's all about me. And if I do it, I'm going to be pleased. But is it God's will? I'm going to go there. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do that. But do you think about God? Does God want you to go there? Does God want you to do that? Temptation itself is not a sin. Okay, this is getting interesting. Temptation in itself is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in Mark 1:13 and Luke 4:1-13, but he never sinned. Sin occurs when we mishandle temptation. We're all tempted. I'm tempted every day. Now that guy in front of me this morning coming to church was going way too slow. I mean, he was one of those Sunday drivers. It must have been an old person about 80 years old. I guess I can't say that example anymore. I'm just about there. It's an older person. And they're just... So what's my thought? All I have to do is go around them. But it's a double line. See, I'm tempted to go around that person, which is not lawful. No, I didn't do it because there's a police on the corner. No, I'm just kidding. But I wouldn't do it anyway, in this case. Do you understand what a temptation is? It's very important because we're going to be talking a lot about temptation. Can God tempt or lead us into temptation? Does God tempt or lead us into temptation? Because it's saying here, our Father which art in heaven. So we're talking about the Father, and he's saying, lead us not into temptation. Does he tempt us? God does not tempt us. Are you with me? God does not tempt us. Fleshly desires, human desires, the devil desire, devilish desires, that's what tempts us. It's Ron Edgecombe, excuse me for using my own example, it's him that tempts me to do that. And we're going to see biblically why. John McCarthy says, the request, do not lead us into temptation, is not to suggest God causes temptation, but it is a way to ask for his protection from sin. I ask God daily, not just once, twice, many times, lead me not into temptation. I don't want to be a wishy-washy vegetable. I'm looking at her because I do a lot of translating in French and Spanish, and I shouldn't use that expression, wishy-washy. I remember one time I was in Dominican Republic, and Ian Rathew was translating for me, and I was talking about the rubber meeting the road. And he looked at me, and he looked at the congregation. He looked at me, and I thought he was going to have a heart attack. But no, Satan tempts us. Our fleshly desire tempts us. Tested, not tempted. God allows us to go through testings. God allows us to go through trials and testings. But he never tempts us. Listen to what James put it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trials of your faith produces patience. We know that trial are a means of our growing spiritually, morally, and emotionally. So we go through trials. We go through testings. And God allows us there. But he's always there. He's always there with his hand. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can go to Jesus saying, Jesus, help me get through this temptation. Or we can even go back, and it's easier to preach than to live. You can say, God, thank you for that testing. I need patience. I need guidance. It's very important important to see these words. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I want to be patient. It's one of the gifts, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It's one of the gifts. And sometimes we have to, and we have to try to thank God. Again, knowing that trial is a means of our spiritual growth, spiritually, morally, and emotionally. The Bible says to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we grow? And one of the ways we can grow is accepting the trials and the testings that comes in our lives. And again, it's much easier to talk about it than to live it. But that's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm trying to do. Now, the word temptation, that's the Greek word, pyrasmos, is temptation, is basically a neutral word in Greek, having no necessary connotation, either good or evil, as does our English temptation, which refers to inducive of evil. So the word is in Greek is temptation. For you know that the testings of your faith produces steadfast. I like that version. I want to be steadfast. I want to be solid for Jesus. And going through some of these testings will produce that in my life. Matthew 6:13, as I said, and lead us not into temptation. This phrase could mean deliver us from temptation of the evil one. In Ephesians, it talks about the devil and his fiery darts. He's always accusing us. But dear friends, we have a lawyer. We have somebody on our side. The Holy Spirit is there, and he can help us go through these trials and testings, which is so important. Now, I read this book because of preparing this message for you, and I just want to read one little part of it. It's called 57 Words That Changed the World, because the Lord's Prayer has 57 words in it. And it's a journey through the Lord's Prayer by Daryl Johnson. Now, read along with me here. Now, just follow along. What is Jesus teaching us to pray? What is Jesus teaching us to pray? I think it is this. Father, as you lead us into the test, do not let the test become a temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Oh, Father, you know that we can't stand up under very much pressure. As you lead us to the test, all of life is a test as you seek to prove and improve our faith. Do not let the test become a temptation, a seduction to sin, but deliver us from the subtle wiles of the deceits against whom we have no match. Father, rescue us from the evil one. I like that. That's a good definition. And I say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me not to fall into the trap of Satan. Help me. Ajudame, we say. Aide-moi. Whatever language is yours, that's what it means. Help me. And he will. That's the wonderful thing about it. Yes? Is temptation sin? To be tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted, yet he never sinned. Temptation only becomes a sin when you give into it. Isn't that a good definition? That's not original. I stole that from the internet somewhere. The outcome depends on how the tempted person reacts. It's our reaction towards the temptation. Temptation itself is not a sin. One must accept it before it results to sin. One must accept it. We accept the temptation, but we can say no. As I said, I'll say it again probably 2 or 3 times, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can say no to temptation. On myself, I'm too weak. I'm too wishy-washy. I could fall into sin quite easily. Like this morning, the example of that person in front of me. Woo! Woo! The outcome depends on how the tempted person reacts. How do you react with sin? Can you overcome sin? I believe you can. And you can say no when the devil tempts you. I love this thought. Satan can coax, but he cannot command. And God is always ready to help you resist. Please look at that again. Satan say, can say, come here, woohoo. He can coax us, but he can't say, come here. If you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you can accept Jesus this morning and he will help you. Maybe it's gloop, 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 too much. I don't know. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's, I don't know what it could be, but he can help you through all of those things. I have seen it over at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, and Harbor Light Mission. I've seen it over and over when people have turned their lives over to Jesus and they've come out of all those wicked temptations that they go through. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape always, always. Also, that you may be able to endure it. Oh, I love these verses. I love the Bible. The Bible is so precious to me. Yes. And these are all in the Bible. The Christian should recognize that victory is always available, because a believer can never get into temptation that he can't get out of. For one thing, Paul explains, no temptation has overcome you, but as such is common to man. We're always going to be tempted. So when it says in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, he means it. He doesn't want us to be tempted, and he'll take care of you as he will always. Lead us not into temptation. Spirit, lead me. Lead me, deliver me. We can pray that. We have the Holy Spirit. We can say no to Satan. We can turn our back to Satan and we can go straight towards God and he will help us. Lead us not into temptation. You know, it's very important here, this lead us not into temptation. I hope you noted that it's plural. This is written to us here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Notice the word us, not merely lead me, lead us not into temptation. This is significant and should be an encouragement to us to pray. We must pray for one another. We must help one another. We must encourage one another. And when we fall into temptations, let's not squash the person and say, can I help you, bro? Can I help your sister? Oh, I know that was a bad one. I know you did that. You shouldn't have done that. But we love you at 16th. We want to help you. That we've got to help, encourage, build up, and stimulate one another. We're a team. Lead us. Deliver us. Not just lead me or deliver me. We got to help one another. That's why we have our chapels, our churches. They're like hospitals. It's just one sick person helping another sick person. In the sense of that we've been healed by the blood of Christ. But we're helping one another, encouraging one another. And we'll see a little bit more of that as we go on. You know, there's another prayer, very interesting prayer. So lead us, deliver us. It's so important. Jesus' prayer. In John 17, when you get home, look it up. I don't have time to go through the whole thing. But John 17, Jesus' prayer. I pray for them I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We're not alone. We have a team, Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have a team with us. We're working together. He's striving. He's helping us. And when you have time, take a look at this prayer. Beautiful prayer. As in every area of Christian life, Jesus is our great example here. He prays regularly for his followers. And the one thing about his prayer, he wants to protect them spiritually. And if Jesus prayed for his disciples, for his brothers and sisters, we should pray for one another. Prayer is so important. That's why I go to prayer meetings. I go to prayer walks. I go to prayer meetings. I do pray on the Monday morning at 9:30 on Zoom. Monday night, I go to a Bible study and we pray. And why do I? I need it. I need it. I know a song, I won't sing it because I still have about 7 minutes. So, but I need thee every hour. We need Jesus every hour, and he will help us. Read this prayer. Digest this prayer, because he's praying for you and he's praying for me. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's Jesus. Jesus. You know, Jude 1:24, what a beautiful thing. God is able to keep us and present us without fault. Prayer is the key to spiritual protection and spiritual victory. You want to have victory? Victory! We used to sing when I was a kid, victory in Christ Jesus. The only victory we can really have is if we follow and obey Jesus and his teachings in Scripture. Here's another verse. I pray that you should take them out of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you'll keep them from evil. This is a prayer for you and I. We're in the world. Sometimes I want to go home. Sometimes I want to go to home, heaven. See, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a pilgrim here, but I'm an ambassador for Jesus. And you should be ambassador to Jesus. And you can be an ambassador to Jesus. When I go to Argentina, I leave on the January, enero, January, enero the 17th of January. I go to Argentina for 3 months working in camp. And everybody in Villa Maria Cordova, think all Canadians, unfortunately, are like me. That's too bad. But see, we're ambassadors. People look at you. And they see you, and they say, well, look at, do you know that person brought me a Christmas cake 2 years ago when I was having trouble? That person came over and raked up those leaves for me last year. Different. We can make a difference if we are different. Now, I don't mean different in looks or anything. I'm talking about being different in this world. You know, we must realize, and we don't have time to go through it all, we are in a spiritual warfare. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle zone. Bombs are flying in Ukraine. The Russians are coming in. I'm not going to get into politics. But it's like that spiritually. We are in a battle. We are in a battle zone. The bombs are dropping. Satan wants us to go over on his side. Satan wants to win us. Now you're going to say, well, Satan's only a figure of the imagination. No, no, it's not. It's a real thing. You know, and stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. And we can stand. But we can stand together. We can have victory together. As you help me and I help you. And all you people out there in Zoom land, pray for one another. Pray for each person in your screen right now. Pray for them, and he'll take care of you. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. And again, let's read this verse again. It's so important. No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not lead you into a temptation beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. Oh, that's beautiful. So, brothers, sisters, friends, let's work together. As a community of believers, let us help one another. As you are helping people learn English, which is very commendable. And I thank God for each of you teachers and people in the organization of it. But let's help people also spiritually. And I know you are. I give that just as an example. We can do this by texting, writing, phones, visitation, encouraging, stimulating one another. Yes, pray for one another. We've got to heal. We don't even have to leave our living room. You can be sitting there and having a cup of coffee. And doesn't it happen sometimes so-and-so come in your mind? Hi, how are you? God bless you. I'm just praying for you. How's things going? Oh, you're having trouble? Can I pray over the phone with you? No? Okay, yeah, I can? Good. Let's pray. I mean, my wife hates the telephone. She hates it. But you should see her with her fingers. Tick, 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 tick. I can't do it. I can't spell it. She can. And she tends to text out to people. So let's work together. Let's work together. Now, I'm not supposed to have this maybe, but I have it. It was an old one, 219. There's one of my best tools that I have. The best tool of the best is this, but that's my second best. I pray for a lot of you. I don't know you all. Some of you I know better over the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, but I open this up and I pray. I pray. I mean, this is not a membership list. This is just a family and friends. But we should, I thank God for your technical people. Go on the internet. Roy and others are doing such a tremendous job on the internet. And you can keep up to date. You can find out what people are doing. You can get what meetings. Maybe you can't come. Did you come to the ladies' luncheon? Yeah? I hear it was pretty good. Oh, man, I wasn't invited. I looked for the text. I didn't get a text. I looked on my computer. I looked on my phone. I looked at all my social media. I looked at WhatsApp. I looked at FaceTime. I looked at Twitter. I looked at TikTok. I looked at Messenger. I looked at messages. I Instagram, Zoom. I didn't get an invitation. So those are all tools that can be used for good or bad. But I encourage you to use them for good, to keep in contact. And when I think of this, I don't know who sends this out. Can somebody tell me? I know you probably won't admit it. This is fantastic. The work that goes into that. And I read it. I don't come here every Sunday. I'm not invited. Maybe once a month is enough. I don't know. But anyway, it's wonderful. Praise God. Use it. And yes, dear friends, that is absolutely awesome. That is awesome. Technology today, even for a person 77 years old. I know I look 57. You don't have to keep saying that, please. But, we can learn. If I can learn, you can learn. Pray for one another. And I pray for you, and I want you to pray for me, that I will not fall to temptation, fall in the traps of the evil one. I thank you for your prayers. I've been in connected with 16 for years. I don't know how many years, but let's pray for one another, help one another. And when one of us fall, let's not leave them behind. I like some of the war shows, real war ones. Never leave them behind. May God use this message to encourage us that we will not fall into the trap of the evil one, but that we'll work together, fight together, encourage one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time together. We thank you for the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, how relevant it is, how up to date, even though it's 2,000 years old, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have these six petitions. Help us to keep your name holy, Father, and help us not to get led into temptation. And thank you that we are a team. We are a hospital helping one another. We are a community striving together. We ask this, Father, giving you thanks in the precious, wonderful, holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.